and to develop serving hearts in your children as they're growing up, so that when they come to the age of accountability, that they are ready to serve in the church. So the home, so the church. Serving the guests that come to your house. Help your children, involve them in that. Be hospitable, inviting others in your home. It helps your children see in you to lay aside self and to serve your guests. Share with others that by donating things that you don't need anymore, it helps your children to learn to give up things that might be dear to them for the betterment of others. Help them see the value of visiting elderly and the sick by taking your children with you when you do those things. Do we see it as a very serious thing? Serving God is serving others. I'm going to read all these verses. Go with me to Matthew 25. In this passage of Scripture, our Lord is talking to, may I say, church-going people. People who went to church. But you look at, back to verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Skipping over some verses here. When we pick up at verse 38, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer that and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And then we have the group who asked the question, in the last part of the verses there, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to the least of these, ye did it not to me. There's the difference. Serving Jesus is serving others. Serving Christ in the church. I want to look at Matthew is also very clear that we cannot serve two masters. You're either going to serve the Lord, and this passage of Scripture brings this out as well, or you're going to serve Satan. We cannot serve two masters. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 and 2 in the outstart here, yep, where the Apostle Paul, and I know we've been studying on the Apostle Paul, yet just another reminder of whose we really are. Where the Apostle says here in Timothy, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, going to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. We are servants for our Lord. And in serving our Lord, we serve others. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Is that the purpose of your heart this morning? Is that the goal of your heart? That we will serve the Lord. By love, we serve one another in Galatians. I want to look at just a couple Bible examples very quickly before I get into the practical side of the message this morning. Go with me to Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 41, a very familiar scripture. Here we have Mary and Martha waiting to take the Lord in as a guest and prepare a meal there. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve thee, to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I think there's something that we can see here in this picture, that Martha was so involved in the details of serving that she forgot the most important part. Sometimes we can get so wrapped up in making sure that things are just right, and we fail to entertain guests. Not everything has to be just so-so. If the opportunity comes to entertain guests, we need to take time to entertain guests. And I think it's very important that we get that principle this morning. We cannot neglect feeding our own souls at the feet of Jesus at the expense of making sure that everything is just right. Now let's go to Acts chapter 9. We want to see another example there of, I believe, and I take this picture to be a picture of a woman serving others in the church and probably abroad. But in Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 26, I want to read the experience of Dorcas here, a woman full of good works, out there helping others, putting others ahead of her own interests. Beginning at verse 36, Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made, which she was with, went while she was with them. And we know the rest of the story of what happened there. But she was a woman that was full of good works. She was inspiration to thousands. There was no indication of a selfish heart. Too many times a hindrance to serving others is our own selfish heart. She served others. Being a disciple is more than just being called a Christian. Being a disciple is being a servant of the Lord, serving. And she's done that. She served. A Christian is someone who comes to God as a lost sinner and accepts or trusts Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior and becomes a disciple of Jesus. And when we become a disciple of Jesus, it involves more than just the initial act of trusting in Christ, but it involves a life full of service for him by serving others. How is it with you this morning? Are you a disciple of Jesus? Are you living a life that resembles him? Do you submit to his lordship? Are we in fact a true disciple? You know, we have the Great Commission in Matthew. And be sure that we don't stop serving him in life. We must be faithful to the end. Secondly, we see in this account, faith without works is dead. but it is the fruit of our faith. It is evidence that we are a disciple of the Lord Jesus when we are doing good for others. She was doing good. You know, a needle is a very small thing, but it was used for a lot of great service in her life. So while weight may seem so insignificant, sometimes are you using what you have for the Lord Jesus? Maybe you don't have everything that everybody else has. You might not. But are you using what you have for the Lord Jesus in serving others? God didn't ask you to be able to do everything for everybody, but God is asking you to do what is right in front of you to do today with the things you have. That is serving in the church. The Amplified Bible would say that Dorcas, that she was abounding in good deeds and acts of charity. May that be said of us. Her faith in Christ was seen by the works that she did. We know that we can't be saved by works alone. But faith without works is dead. Thirdly, we see in this passage, we have the sudden death of Dorcas, and that can fall upon any one of us. Sometimes it was hard for this community to understand why Dorcas was taken. And there are things in life sometimes that God brings into our life that we hardly understand. Her good works, her influence lived on. What kind of influence is going to live on when you're gone? When I'm gone? What are people going to remember you for? I like this little story. They remembered her for the things she done. They showed the things she done when they were weeping when Peter was there. Secondly, the Lord permitted it for some wise, loving purpose. Romans 8:28 was certainly in operation right here. In this case, we cannot explain why suffering and sickness and accidents and death, but God knows what He is doing, and one day we'll understand on the shores of eternity why God took a father out of a home. Times we don't understand why God takes a husband and leaves a widow. We don't understand. But God does. While we are in our physical bodies, we must walk by faith, meaning that we are to trust God. But while we are here as living beings this morning, may we be those that produce good works, that people can see our faith in the Lord Jesus. There is room for everybody in the service of our God. Service in the church. We are all different. We all have different talents. And there is work for each one of us to do. There is not one of you here this morning without a talent that God has given you to serve in the church as well as last night in the community. You all have talents. We all have talents. Let's use what God has given us for His service. There are plenty of opportunities. Do you ever wake up in the morning and ask God to give you an opportunity today to show kindness to someone? You'll be surprised. And don't sit on a chair somewhere waiting for it to happen. Be looking. And when we're looking, God will show you somebody that you can help. In the church, even. The power of God is still operating today. The power of prayer and the power of faith and the power of salvation. This morning, we're going to leave that little story now. And I want to talk about the importance of cultivating a servant's heart and endure a servant's hardship. And finally, we'll receive a servant's honor. And I want to divide in those three areas this morning and bring in some practical applications along the way in serving in the church. First of all, cultivating a servant's heart. Our Savior didn't come to be served, and why should we take that attitude to be served? But rather, get out there and serve others. Our Savior, our Lord, stooped to wash his disciples' feet. He left us the perfect example of servanthood. Every one of us needs to take that very seriously and serve. Our children should see that it is a privilege to serve the church in our life. And that's why it's important that we teach them a servant's heart, even teaching them to serve their siblings, to serve their visitors that come in their home. And as they see you, as they observe you serving in the church and in the activities of the church, it's going to implant something in their heart when they come to that age that they'll be ready to serve wherever God calls them. We must cultivate a servant's heart in ourselves, at home, and in the church. They will only see that if we have a servant's heart, if we are willing to teach Sunday school after we get a call on Saturday evening, if we are willing to serve wherever God may call us. Tonight, we'll look at that a bit further. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Every Christian this morning, every one of you who have named the name of Jesus, you are bought. You are a blood-bought servant of the Lord Jesus this morning if you are one of his children. I believe I'm looking into the faces of many who are. You are a blood-bought servant, and you owe your life in service to the Lord Jesus. Being a servant of Christ is not an option. If you want to be more dedicated, it is a calling of every believer, of everyone who has named the name of Jesus. It is your calling. Because we are all selfish by nature. But we need to, on a daily basis, crucify that selfishness in us. That's the only way that we're fit to serve. Timothy was one who Paul called his son. I believe he was taught much under the life of Paul. But first of all, a servant's heart is centered on the things of God. If we have a servant's heart this morning, we are going to be centered on the things of God. And we're going to see serving in the church as an opportunity or a privilege to teach Sunday school, to have devotions, to go to school and have devotions, the list goes on. And we're going to do it without grumbling and complaining. We need to be instant in season and out of season to serve. That's not just for preachers. That's for you too. So when you get a call at the last minute, I trust you take it as a call from God to go and serve. Paul was submitting every choice to the will of God. Been studying much about him in the Sunday school lessons. But Timothy's focus was also on the Lord. Timothy was not seeking after his own interests instead of those of Jesus Christ. Timothy served with Paul in the furtherance of the gospel. And as we serve the Lord in the church, we're doing it unto the furtherance of the gospel, whether it be at home or abroad. Where are you this morning? Where is your focus? Is it on the things in life? Or is it on the things of God? You know, the older I get, the more I realize. And I know Willard's got some more years on me yet, but life is but a vapor. The more I realize the value of the things of God and serving the church, teach those things to your children, parents, that your children will be ready to serve at any cost. For all who seek their own, and not the things which are Jesus Christ, will not have the honor of a servant. If we're going to seek our own things, we're going to live a selfish life, then we will not have that honor of a servant. And we know there are only two destinies in eternity. Timothy's focus was also on the Lord. So I ask you this morning again, where is your focus? Where's my focus? And I need to remind myself of that many times in life. Where is my focus in this? Again, even serving in the church is going to cost you something. It might cost you some time off of work. Here is Timothy, a young man. He served with Paul in the furtherance of the gospel. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. But ye know the proof of him, that as his son, with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Paul, when he was in prison, called Epaphroditus, a minister to his need. And states that he had completed by his presence what the Philippians could not do in their absence as service to Paul in prison. I want to take notice of three attitudes that mark a servant who is focused on the Lord Jesus. They are willing to be sent. If we have our focus on the Lord this morning, we're going to be willing to be sent. We might say, well, what about this brother over here? I seem to be doing everything. You know what Jesus told Peter? He said, what is that to you? And Peter said, what's this brother going to do? Jesus looked at Peter. He said, what's that to you? Take your call very seriously. We're going to, I think of that song. And I'm thinking of using that song tonight before the sermon. I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll do what you want me to do, and I'll say what you want me to say. Maybe sometimes that song brings a little fear to us, but if we sing it from the heart, we'll be willing when God calls to go and to do and to say. So the attitude that marks a servant is one who has his focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're willing to be sent wherever God would call us. Have you told the Lord that in your prayers, that you are willing to go anywhere? You're willing to serve in any facet of the church? Many of us were teenagers at one time too. Does that bring fear to your heart? To think of, yes, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me. I trust that's the desire of every heart. That's an attitude that marks us as a servant of God, and we're willing to do that. He reminds us that God is the one who is arranging our circumstances of life. And that's why it's so important to trust him in all of life. And just because you're doing what God is asking you to do doesn't mean that everything's going to flow smoothly materially. Doesn't mean that everything's going to just work out right. We're also willing. Well, the second point is we are willing to serve anyone. We're not going to be selective of who we serve. We're not going to look at an individual and say, well, he is where he is because, and God is asking us to go serve that individual. Because it's his own fault. Maybe it's someone who needs some assistance in management or whatever it may be in their life. Maybe it's someone who needs spiritual direction. God is asking you to go see that person. We do it out of a servant's heart in a loving way. We'll go a long way in building church life. But when we back away and we don't want to touch it because we're a bit fearful, God is asking you to do what is in front of you to do. A servant of Jesus Christ isn't out to make a name for himself, but we are out to make a name for Jesus and to draw others unto him. We're available to his Lord, to the Lord Jesus, to serve anyone. The Lord will direct us to whom we are to serve. He'll direct you. But we need to be feeding at the feet of Jesus. Thirdly, the third attitude of a willing servant is they are willing to sacrifice anything. You are willing to sacrifice to meet the needs that God is calling you to meet at any cost. To meet the needs in the church. But none of these things we count dear unto ourselves. So that I might finish my course, the apostle says, with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace. So I trust this morning that you have a heart that is saying to God, I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do. I'm willing to serve in the church. I'm willing to take responsibility when asked by the church to take. When there's a call comes to the church, take it seriously as a call from God. It may not be like we thought it should be, but take it seriously. A servant's heart must be constantly captivated with Christ as the central focus in our life. Secondly, a servant's heart puts others ahead of himself for the sake of Christ. Are we willing to even be tramped on just to be willing to serve? I had a dear brother who told me one time, he was a deacon that was in some of my past church settings, a deacon that came from the community there and was serving in the church. He said, you have to be willing sometimes to be, he used this term of letting people use you as a shoe rag and wipe their shoes. And it might be that happens sometimes, and maybe right within. Are you willing to be misunderstood? Do we put others ahead? We're not here to establish a name for ourselves. You know, Paul could have been thinking of his circumstances. And he could have said, I can't even spare Timothy. Here I sit in prison. But Paul is a challenge to me because he was so busy in the Lord's work, even while he sat in prison. When I come to the trying times of life, I think of Paul. And I think of what he went through. Can I bear a little bit? It looks pretty mild when I think of sitting in prison. Instead, he was willing to send Timothy to the Philippian church. He thought of the Philippian church. He was concerned about his brothers and sisters over there. There are at least three ways this morning that you can tell if you're putting others ahead of yourself. You will have a heartfelt love for those individuals. You will have a heartfelt love for those individuals. Paul had a heartfelt love for Timothy and Epaphroditus. Do we have that kind of heartfelt love for others. I trust that we do. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You think Paul believed that while he sat in prison? I believe he did. It may be a hard time to understand that scripture sometimes, but it is true. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Sad to say, there are many, sometimes today, there are many who serve the Lord with wrong motives. May we not be those who serve the Lord with wrong motives, to lift ourselves up. You can work cooperatively with others when we have the right goal in serving others. When we realize that we are doing the work of God and we're doing it as unto him. So we must cultivate a servant's heart centered on the things of Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Paul and Timothy put the example to us, putting others ahead of ourselves for the sake of the gospel. Are we willing to do that this morning? The next main part of the message is that we must endure a servant's hardship if we want to receive a servant's honor in the final end. Serving Christ is not an easy road. We haven't been promised a bed of roses and flowers. It takes time to study. It takes time to counsel with others. It takes time to listen to others and meet the needs that are there. You have the same thing in the home. Parents, it takes time to listen to your children. Let them talk. Listen and help them. Same thing in the church. It takes time to listen to individuals and the struggles that they're facing, and to help one another. It's a great work in the church. This term fellow soldier implies warfare. It brings us under the attacks of the enemy. We're facing the same enemy, Satan. Wherever God's work is prospering, Satan is there to try to turn others away. Now let's think about receiving a servant's honor. Remember, we must, in order to receive a think about the hardship of persecution. They were facing persecution there. You know, you and I have never faced anything like that in physical persecution. There are Christians today across the world who are facing that. Would that discourage us? Would that turn us away? But Paul was in prison, facing that hardship. He was facing the hardship of the work itself. Don't become weary in well-doing, but serve. I need to hurry on here. I need to move on. Let's look at the last portion of the message. That to receive a servant's honor, we must endure the hardship that goes with it. There'll be a time coming when we meet on the shores of eternity and receive the rewards there. We don't seek honor for ourselves, but for our Lord, who alone is worthy. And I believe that many times service in the church is hindered because there's just too much self within us, and we want just a little bit of honor for what we're doing. Listen, our honor's in heaven. Our glory's in heaven. Let's not let that hinder the work of our God. He will reward every faithful servant and with a crown of righteousness, the scripture tells us. Every faithful servant. Not one will be missed. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Are you looking for the appearing of our Lord this morning? You know, it could be that this will be the last day you can gather like this, because the Lord Jesus might come. It could be that this might be your last day on earth. We don't know. Does that bring fear to your heart? I trust not. But may we be faithful so that we can receive that crown of righteousness. That God would help us to be faithful. We're facing an enemy that we are no match for. We're facing an enemy that is here to try to overthrow us. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, that each esteem other better than themselves. If we would take that verse just very seriously, esteeming others better than ourselves, all the problems in the church would disappear. Let's take it to heart. And let's esteem others, but it seems to be a very difficult thing sometimes to do. Let us mind the things of God. Let us go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. To look at the greatest example of all. Philippians chapter 2. Now I just want to read verses 5 to 11 here. For your fellowship, chapter 2. Now let's begin with, I did mention verse 3. Let's begin with verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That was our Lord Jesus who left us that example. And he was willing to take the place of a servant. And maybe there's things in the church, in areas where you are serving, you're helping individuals, you're counseling with individuals that are in the church that need some help and need some encouragement. And maybe no one else notices what you're doing. I want to tell you something, that none of that is missed by God. And you'll be rewarded for that. And I think we need to be open to that and be ready to help. Jesus had a servant's heart. And he endured a servant's hardship. He received a servant's honor. This morning, do you want to receive that honor? Then be a faithful servant. Let us all strive to become imitators of Christ. Follow Paul and Timothy's example of a servant. And not only of them, but of those examples, so let us be the right example. Parents, let's be the right example for our children, and you'll produce in them a servant's heart that will be willing to serve in the church. That is so important to tie those two together. So may God help us this morning. We're going to leave off there. May God help us this morning to be the servant. There are a lot of hindrances there as well, and I was going to look at that a little bit, but there are a lot of hindrances to being an effective servant of the Lord, a whatever it may be. Getting involved in God's work it takes a lot of work, but God is there to give you the strength. You know, it's going to cost you something financially. The devil is there to, Satan is opposing the work of God. And you know, you have Achan as an example as well. May God help us this morning to be faithful servants. One could talk about a lot of the attacks of the enemy. May God help us that we might give ourselves to his work. Shall we?